praise God. I'm Pastor Mark Cho, and again, welcome to Revival Today. I pray that you enjoy this message that's now in session.
If you turn me to Matthew 5:48, those that have their Bibles. And it says, therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. That's the first scripture. Next scripture, if you turn with me to Philippians, excuse me. And it says there, not that I have already attained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. So it says in the scripture, not that I have already attained it, but I'm, you know, but I know that I need to desire to perfect the things that God has told me to perfect. Now, I'm going to go into a word today because I want you to see that God is constantly trying to speak to his people and to perfect us in things. And the reason why we need to know that God is speaking is because God said, when Jesus went away, he said, I go away, but I leave with you a comforter, a counselor, someone to be intimate with you and speak and lead and guide you. So in the scripture, when it says, be ye therefore as perfect, even as my Father, which is in heaven, is perfect, doesn't mean that you can be perfect in your own self. But when you say to the Lord, Lord, I want to hear from you because I need direction for my life. Guess what? He's going to do that. But a lot of time what we do is we don't realize that God is speaking and he's speaking in different ways. A lot of times we don't want to hear God because we already had made our own plans. And we don't realize that God is trying to lead and guide. When you say the word lead and guide, that means that he's directing your path. That's why when we always quote that scripture where it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. What does that really mean? It means with all your heart. If your heart is not in it, don't even try to do it. Because he said perfect. Now, perfect means you have to say to yourself, I'm going to at least do this right. I'm going to perfect my will where I desire to surrender to God so that he has his way with me. And when you don't do that, that's why when we were going over the counseling in the class the other day, we were trying to get people to understand that God already hears your prayer. He's going to give you the desire of your heart. But he has to perfect you first. In order to perfect you, he has to bring you out of what you once was into what you shall be. Now, you can't get to where you shall be if you're not listening to God and if you're not listening to the Holy Ghost. A lot of times we as Christians want to receive a word that we can get in the midst of the body, but we don't want to perfect our heart where we continue to say to God, Lord, change me and continue to have your way with me. When you say that word, have your way, that's real. Have your way means he's going to take you where you don't decide to go. It means you're going to go where God say go regardless. And that's hard because a lot of times we want to do our own thing. A lot of times we say to the Lord, Lord, I need you to change something in my life. Lord, I want you to fix something that I'm going through. How many have been there? Lord, fix it. Lord, I need you to fix it. And then he starts to talk to you and say, okay, I'm going to fix it, but I'm going to stop changing stuff. You start saying, leave me alone. Get out of my business. I don't need to hear that. We all know King David, but we know what he have gone through. There's a scripture, if you turn with me to 2 Samuel 24:14. I'm going to do a teaching today. Then David said to Gad, I am in great distress. Let us fall into the hands of the Lord, for his mercies are great. But do not let me fall into the hands of man. Now, do you know who Gad was? Anyone ever hear of who Gad was? And when you, how many of you have been reading your Bible for a long time? Do you know there was someone by the name of Gad? Gad. Since I've been saved, I never heard Gad. Gad was an advisor to David. He was somebody that David received counsel from. And it's in the scripture where Dave turned to him and Dave said to Gad, I am in great distress. So that was his man. That was who he hung out with. That's who he received counsel from. So he turned to him and said, I'm in great distress, but I need to go to the mercy of God because I don't want the people to get a hold of what is going on in my life. So he turned to him and said, we need to go to the mercy of God. Don't you know that people will do something to you and hold your mess and hold things over your head? How many of you have gone through something and people found out about it? And to this day, they hold it over you. So that scripture is saying that David said to God, he said, I need you to know that we need to do this different. So I'm in great distress. He was going through some things. And I'm going to break it down so you know who Gad is and understand this. First of all, Gad the seer or prophet is first mentioned in the book of 1 Samuel 22:5. Before the Holy Ghost was poured out on believers at Pentecost in Acts 2, God communicated to the people primarily through his chosen prophets. So the back in the day, God mainly communicated with the people, men and women of authority through the prophet. That was the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the prophets were the ones that were mainly and more likely they were set apart. Set apart means that you are only set aside for God. So usually they used to call them seers. So when a king needed some guidance, he would go to the seer and he would turn to the seer or the prophet and try to get a direction. Now you say to yourself, why would somebody of great authority need direction? And I need you to understand, we were in the message on Friday night and she was talking about direction, correction. She talked about how God is going to change the direction you're going in and correct it. See, so many times we want to just do what we do because we want to just do it. But God says, I see what you're ready to go into, and I'm trying to advise you. So even the kings needed somebody to advise them. So I'm going to have First Lady take the next page because we need to understand what's going on, and I want you to get a little of this history and understand it. So she's going to read that for me. It says, in the Old Testament. Go ahead.
In the Old Testament, those prophets are sometimes called seers. Seers are sought by kings and others in authority when they needed direction from the Lord.
See, so seers were sought out by kings and those that were in authority when they needed direction. Okay, so I need you to get this. I want you to get this mental picture. They knew that they needed counsel. All right, so go ahead.
Gad appears suddenly in the book of 1 Samuel as a consultant to David while he was on the run from Saul. At that time, God counsels David to leave Moab and return to Judea. Gad is not mentioned again until David took the throne as king in Israel, and Gad is named as his seer.
See, so right there, it says that Gad was his seer. So that was the one that David turned to for counsel. And when he was on the run from Saul, he would go and he would ask what direction to go. He knew to seek out the word of God, the man or woman of God. That's what I'm going to go with today, is that God is trying to do something with us and change our course, but we don't want to hear from the man and woman of God. We don't want to do it. We will preach to everybody. We will sing in everyone's face. We will get in the spirit in front of everybody. But when God says, listen to thus said the Lord, we say, I'm not doing that because I got other plans. So go on, read the next part because I want to make sure I get to this. Go ahead.
At that time, kings had specific prophets whose counsel they sought, much as the American president has an advisory council. The difference is that these seers were to represent the Lord's counsel and not merely present good advice.
See, it was a difference. Now you see what's going on in society today with the president? He has all these men around him and he ain't listening to nobody. How couldn't you be operating in the authority of God? Even the King David, that was someone chosen by God. And I want to get this in your spirit, chosen and called by God. He was called to be over a nation, and he still had to go to somebody and say, what does the Lord say today? When you have the government doing what it's doing today, and those that are in charge are not seeking the counsel of God, guess what? Everyone goes off the cliff. That's why we got to look up and live by faith and know that God is sending the Holy Ghost to minister to you and trying to perfect you in the things of God, because as he perfects you, he's not saying to you that you can't go before him with mercy and grace, but what he's saying is you got to change your way of thinking and start saying to yourself, even though God has given me my own capabilities to make my own mind up, I still need to go to the counsel of God. So go ahead and continue to read. I hope you're enjoying this. I want you to get something today. Go ahead.
However, seers were not always trustworthy.
So they weren't always trustworthy. Seers weren't always trustworthy. So go ahead.
And the Lord brought judgment on those who spoke from their own authority.
See, and I want to say that. That's why I always talk to you about the prophets. We need prophets in the house. We need men and women that are called to do what God say do. But it's not to control those that are in authority. It's their seers. They look out and they allow God to minister to them and give you counsel. You know what? Before Christ came and before he went away, they didn't have the Holy Ghost. And see, where the church messes up, everybody wants to be a prophet now, but nobody wants to set themselves aside like a prophet. They want to give him direction. They want to prophesy at every turn, but they won't hear for themselves. You know what I'm saying? You ever see somebody prophesy to everybody and you can see they going off the cliff and they won't listen to nobody? That's something wrong. But this is what's going on in the house of God. We have closed our ears off to him. And then when we get in a mess, we get in. What we do is we come running, oh, Lord, I need you to fix it. You know what? And he said, I was trying to talk to you a long time ago. And I was trying to change your direction. Go ahead. We're going to go on. See, and then when you look at what's going on in society today, and somebody said on TV, said, I'm disappointed with the church because the church is not calling out a spade a spade. The church is not calling out what's going on in this country as if it's wrong or not wrong. And I'm going to tell you this, is that when you see what God requires of us and you see what's going on in the land today, you can't tell that the enemy is working. The Bible says, through love and kindness have I drawn all men unto me. When you see a spirit of hate and division, you know, even in a church, when that spirit comes, that's a spirit of witchcraft. God is not a divider. He is a uniter. Someone say he's a uniter. He unites us. He's not trying to divide you. He's not trying to break your relationship. He's not trying. He brings people together. So when you see people that are running governments and running different things of authority, and all they're doing is dividing, they're saying, oh, the blacks sit over there, the whites sit over here, the Mexicans keep them out. That is not the heart of God. And the people, you know, we got the people on TV doing these great revivals, and we just felt the arena for prayer. Everybody want to pray, but nobody wants to stand up and say, this is not right. When you have the president standing up saying, I'm not going to listen to my advisors, there's a problem. It's you can't go to work and do that, can you? Can you go to work and do some of the stuff he's doing? You will lose your job. I need you to know that just because you're in a place of authority, like you're over your household, we do it all the time. I'm the man of the house. I'm the woman of the house. I don't need to listen to nobody. I don't need to hear. So we do what we do, and we then say to ourselves that no one can, we even say this, I'm grown. I don't need to listen to nobody. There is a reason why God wants you to line yourself up with sound counsel, because counseling is when you receive something that's going to improve. So when you see that scripture that says, be therefore as perfect, even as my Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. A lot of us said, nobody can be perfect. We even live in a society today where, oh, everybody got problems. You know, matter of fact, most churches won't receive your testimony unless you first start off with, oh, by the way, I was addicted for 20 years. Rather than seeing lives that God take and he kept, we don't celebrate that. We celebrate everyone that went through because they didn't listen. You know what? God don't want you to have to be strung out. That's not God's plan. That's not God's plan that you're homeless. That's not God's plan that you have no job. It's our own flesh because we did not want to listen. It's not God's plan that children are born without a mother or a father. It is because we refuse to hear the Lord and refuse to allow the Holy Ghost to lead and guide us into perfection. He's trying to guide you into perfection. You can't keep your marriage if you ain't listening to the Lord, even after you're married. Husbands, wives, you have to still surrender yourself to God. If you do not surrender yourself to God, you're just going to walk into a mess. He said, I'm going to perfect everything about you. And that means when he said perfect, he, you know, have you ever received a new car or a new bike? Do you think they just take it off the assembly line and just roll it out to you? No. They still have what they call inspectors. They go and look at it. Okay, it's done. Okay, you said it's done. Okay, let me go and check now. And the inspector goes by with his checkbook. And okay, that works. That knob turns. There's no scratches. I was on a team called ISO 9001. It was called ISO. And they were a team where you would have to go out and inspect the finished product. Now, ISO 9001 was a new integrity program that they instituted around the whole world. So if you wanted to do business with America, you had to go through the ISO program. Then what they did is they literally flew me. And I never flown on a plane before, okay? And I grew up in Astra, never went nowhere, never. We couldn't afford to go on plane trips. So we usually go to the mountains. My wife always said, to the mountains again, we're going? I'm like, yeah, we're going to the mountains. And I started working for this company, and the name of the company was called Libel, and they made cryo pumps and stuff, and these were for the, I think they're called MRI machines, and for the military missiles and stuff, because it keeps them cold, so it would run something what you call a cold head. And it would run all of these different kind of chemicals that will cause, through friction, would cause it to become really cold, okay? And so my job, I was an engineer there, and so we had just two of us. We had our own little room, and we were responsible for designing this product, okay? So what we had to do is we had to go in, and we had to do all the tests and put all the chemicals together. So we had one guy in there that would do all the chemistry and all that stuff, And my job was I had to then get the unit and put it and set up all the test probes and everything, and then run all the simulations and then record the results. And they were so serious about their product that there was a problem with it in California. So the manager called me in the office and said, listen, I need to fly you out to California so that you can go check this out and run ISO over it, make sure everything checks off. Now, if the world knows enough to check out his stuff before they release it, someone said before releasing. Why is it that the church does not want to go through the same process? We'd rather listen to any preacher under the sun. We'd rather listen to every advisor that hasn't been proven. You'd rather listen to your boyfriend, girlfriend, and everyone under the sun but God. How dare you? But we don't understand that God is trying to do something where he can perfect you and bring you to a higher level. Let's give God some praise on that. Go back to our reading. And the thing was is that when you perfect something, it's not easy. Because sometimes what happens when you go through these kind of programs, if you find something that's not right, what happens? You got to send it back. Send it back. Husband, wife, send it back. Send it back. Direction, correction. See, when God gets done, when God's doing something, he's all about perfecting. And this is where we mess up. When we were doing this marriage, the single seminar, we were trying to get the body to understand this is that, don't you know that if you are not complete in yourself before you meet an individual, you will not be able to become tied with them because you're going to be connected to so many other things. So if you were depressed prior to meeting that young man or woman, and you never dealt with that anger, that hurt, you're going to just reintroduce it to the next relationship. See, so God is about qualifying you for what's the desire of your heart. What do you desire, church? Yes, God wants you to be able to have a husband or a wife. He wants you to be able to have that new job. But if you don't get up in the morning to go to work in the first place, it's like, you ever get a friend that come to you and say, oh, man, hook me up with a job? You're like, yeah, I'll do that. I ain't telling them nothing. Because you know he's your boy and all, but he don't get up in the morning. You even know that. Or you ever have someone come to you and say, oh, by the way, you know, you bought a new house and you want to rent the upstairs. And somebody come up to you, oh, hallelujah, praise God. And they praise the Lord in your face. And they say, oh, by the way, I'm looking for a place to stay. Can you rent to me? And you're like, oh, you come to church once a month or three times a year. Okay, I don't know you that much. And when you do come, you're always late. And every time I hear you testify, you left your job. Now, you know, like we'd be thinking even if you don't get an advisor, you got enough sense to say, it's not good. It doesn't feel right. You know what I mean? Or some of us have our own kids. We have things we want to do, and we say our kids come to us and say, oh, Dad, guess what? You know, since you're getting that new car, why don't you let me take your car? And you're like, I still got payments. You going to take the payment? They'd be like, oh. What I need you to know is that every scenario in life affects us. But there's a decision that's going to be made around your character. And what we don't want to do is we don't want to yield to the Spirit. And when we don't yield to the Spirit, that's why we can't be perfected in the things of God. Now, let's go on into this because I got to get off. Praise God. Give God some praise. I want to wake y'all up. Y'all better wake up. All right, go ahead.
God appears was an honorable man and faithful, and faithfully spoke to the Lord. Spoke the Lord's words to David.
See, so it said Gad, it appeared, was honorable. Someone say honorable. And faithful. I don't know why we don't like that word. Why don't we like that word? What is wrong with the word faithful? Why do we like trip out like faithful? Oh, you know, God can, you know, we'll all be like, God, use me. When you say be faithful, they're like. But the Bible says that he was honorable and faithful. So that means we got to understand that God wants us to be faithful at something because he's perfecting you. If he's perfecting you, he's changing things about you so that he can line up your character with will and purpose. You as a father and mother, you have children. If you see a child don't ever want to go to work, don't ever, you're going to require of them, you're going to sit down with them and say, listen, I'm going to give you counsel. How many have kids that don't listen to you? Don't listen to nothing you say. You know who they are. You know them kids. We all, Bernie Mac said, you know them kids. Them kids. On the Bernie Mac show, he'd always be showing his kids. All of us have children. We are the children of God. And that's why he relates us to family. So you know that if you are training your child in the way they should go, and you observe them and you notice they don't listen, they ain't trying to listen, they ain't going to listen, are you going to bless them with something? No, you're going to say, I got to leave them alone or leave her alone for a while, let her do her thing. But what we do is we pick them up, we catch them all the time. We got to stop doing that. Because when they fall, they learn how to get up on their own. You ever see a child that's learning how to walk? When they first start, don't you? You help them. You help them. But now they fall, you start to say, come on, get up, get up. You see, but we don't want to do that. We helicopter parents. And then when they're grown, they can't do nothing for themselves. God said he's going to perfect us. So in perfecting you, there's got to be some challenges. There's got to be some things you got to go through. So it says here that Gad was, he appears honorable man and faithful, okay? And he spoke to the Lord, listened to the Lord. Let's go ahead.
After David had sinned by numbering the troops, the Lord sent Gad to rebuke him and give him three options of punishment. 2 Samuel 24:11-14. Gad later went back to David and gave him the Lord's commandment about making his sin right through offering a sacrifice.
See, so Gad came to David and said, you need to make your sins right. And he said, make a sacrifice, an offering. Even on offering time, we don't want to give. So before David could go forward, you need to pay attention to this. Before you can go forward in your blessing, you got to give an offering. You see that in the scripture? You know what's the difference about when you give an offering versus just giving your word? Can someone tell me the difference? If you go to something that you did not sacrifice, you will not honor it. But when you got to give your best, you're going to be like, you know, I went to do a concert and it was in Connecticut and the artist didn't show up, okay? And I had my team and our crew, and that's how I got signed with World of Gospel, because John P. Key wasn't there. And they advertised to everybody, oh, John P. Key's coming. And they filled the auditorium and everyone's filled up there. And then I had my 10-piece band and my crew. We came up from New Hampshire. No one ever heard of us from Connecticut. So we were like the new thing. And we had my band, I had, we were a mixed group. So we had, my drummer was white. My bass player was, my guitar player was white. So in the inner city, they didn't see that. So when we walked in the building, everybody was like, the kids came running up to my drummer and he was like high-fiving and all this stuff. But when we went to there and we went into this engagement, we began to come in, and then the promoter met me in the back room and said, listen. He said, listen, we don't have no instruments here. We don't have the main artists here. And people paid their money to get in. And he said, if you guys don't come out and take this, it's going to be a mess tonight. And so he was nervous because he sold and they gave their offering. You know what I mean? You say, I gave my $50. You ever go to a restaurant and show up and they say, oh, by the way, thank you for your money. Go home. You'd be ready to do this. You know how we are. But yet, we don't want to surrender a sacrifice unto God. He's fixing your life. He's improving your life. See, so when he's perfecting you, guess what he's doing? He's qualifying you and he's setting you apart. Meaning, set you apart. There's a reason why you are you. There's a reason why you have your place in the kingdom. Because there's integrity tied to your name. It can't be tied to your name when you keep on doing stuff behind the scenes and there's no one checking you. So go ahead and read that, and I'm going to be about done. Now we're going to speed read. See, this is how we do on Bible study. We really get into it, and it gets good. I mean, it gets gooder and gooder. But, you know, I just wanted to just take this time with you today. Give God some praise. Wake up. So I'm going to let her go through this so we can just introduce it. Go ahead.
God remained loyal to David throughout his reign and is later listed as a compiler of the King's Chronicles. Gad must have been a young man when he first joined David's band, since he outlived David and wrote a history of his life. Though rarely mentioned by name, Gad the seer may have played a crucial role in David's success as king. His initial advice while David was on the run from Saul not only kept David safe, but it allowed David to build a reputation as a mighty warrior, making him popular with the people.
See, so right there. His reputation was because he was a listener. See, a lot of time what we do is we know that David had a heart for God. You say, well, how could he have a heart for God? He slept with Bathsheba. He killed her husband, Uriah, and put him in the front of the battle so that he may be killed. But he had a heart for God. So when I say perfection, perfecting yourself is the heart for God is when you already, you see, the devil wants to take your heart. And when, the part about your heart he wants to take is this. You ever get so mad that you don't want to listen to nobody no more? Or so mad where, you know, you get hard. Like, I'm done. Even in your relationship, you get so mad, you're like, I'm not speaking to her no more. Not speaking to him no more. I have nothing. That's a hardened heart. See, so when we are in the Lord, or when you seek the Lord's counsel and you say, Lord, fix this in my life, he's going to first start with the heart. And he's going to start doing heart surgery, and he's going to start tapping on your heart and trying to restore it and try to bring life back in it. And see, that's how he works. He goes right to your heart. And he starts rearranging your heart. He starts reconnecting your heart and says, okay, now it's pumping. Now it's alive. See, because the heart represents life. That's what gives it's a source to your life. So God has to first go to your heart. Some of us are in a situation where our heart is spoiled. It's so messed up. We're so upset. We've been done so wrong. Nobody wants to listen to you. No one treats you with any respect. And your heart is hardened. But before God could use David, he had to change his heart. And David was a man that had a heart for God. So that means when he did stupid stuff, he did totally disrespectful things. He did things that was dishonorable. And where we mess up is this. Guess what? If I was a father and somebody came by my house and said, oh, by the way, King David's coming by to marry your wife, I'd be like, oh, he killed the other guy for his wife. Meaning he had a reputation at that time where it was dishonorable. But because he was a man that desired to please God and had a heart to change, he was able to cry. Some of us, you ever get so mad, you don't cry. I remember I tried that during a whooping. I'm not going to cry. That's my plan. That was my plan that night. I was like, because I'm older now. I'm like 17. He ain't gonna give me. And it's usually with your mother. Because your mother, she get gadgets. She don't just hit you. She get that stuff. She get that extension cord. She be like, yeah, y'all big now, son, but I'm going to get that cord over here. They be like. I tried. I was working it. Till she got me that. She got that bare skin somehow. And I was like, ah! But your heart was in a place where you already made up your mind that you're not going to receive correction. And because of that, God cannot advance you. He cannot bring you to another place. He can't bring your situation to another place. You have not been checked off yet. So when the inspector comes by and inspects your life, which is the Holy Ghost, the Bible says when Jesus went away, he said that I'm going to leave a comforter to lead and guide you. Why does he say that? To lead and guide you, because back in the Old Testament, they had prophets everywhere. And the prophets were somebody that the kings knew how to get close to because they knew who they served. They knew that they were listeners and they were seers and they desired to please God. So they said, I'm going to get around somebody that's right. No, we do. I don't want to get around that person that's right. I'm going out this weekend. We get away from those that are truly called, and we seek out those that are like us. And that's your advisor. You don't even know it. Because when you're sitting in your car, when you're hanging in the bedroom, or when you're chilling out, you're talking to them about your problem instead of to God. Or instead of going to somebody that's solid in the word, and you go to them and they tell you something you don't like, and you say, oh, okay, I'm going to listen because they have integrity. Because they live a life of integrity. Church, we need to get to that place. Give God some praise. I'm about done. Read this, and then we're going to go to scriptures. Are you enjoying this? I know usually I'm really preaching and stuff, but I wanted you to get an understanding that. See, you know what? And this is the other thing about the advisor called Gad. Guess what? No one ever knew much about him. No, when you study your scriptures, you're like, oh, but he was a son of Jacob. No one even know that. So meaning this, sometimes when the Holy Ghost advises you, no one knows. No one knows who's really talking to you. But guess what? When you get with that person, that spirit of God, that is going to advise you according to the word of God, not your groupies, not your homies. But that spirit that lines up with the word of God is the one that gets in your ear and challenges your character and says, guess what? And they don't tell you stuff they don't do. And that's how you perfect yourself. And I mean by perfecting is this, is that, guess what? Your heart is right. Your heart is ready to receive a word. Your heart is ready to get direction, correction. And so that now he can take you out of the path and off the direction that you were going. Like the pastor said on Friday night, she said that, you know, when I believe it was a Paul, when his name was changed, he was first a persecutor of the church. So he said to me, he was what? What was his name? Saul? So his first job was to persecute. When God changed the direction, guess what? He gathered the saints. He gathered the saints and made disciples.
Praise God. I hope that you enjoy the word that you heard today. Again, thank you for listening to Revival Today. I'm Pastor Mark Choate, and we're located at 1850 Elm Street, Manchester, New Hampshire. Come visit us at House of Praise. We hope to see you real soon. Have a blessed day.